Live from the studios of Town Square Media in Northfield, it's Hurley in the Morning on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
It is 5 minutes past the hour. It is my pleasure to open up yet another important edition of Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents. This is a program that between the television program and the radio program, I have been a part of. What a privilege to be a small part of this for over 25 years. I think it's 28 years, to be exact, between TV and radio. We have an amazing guest for this half hour, the distinguished doctor, Dr. Bernard John Hines, cardiac electrophysiologist. Dr. Hines is board certified in cardiovascular disease and clinical cardiac electrophysiology. Dr. Hines earned his medical degree at the University of Texas Health Sciences Center Medical School in San Antonio, Texas, great state. After medical school, he completed a residency in internal medicine at the University of Alabama at Birmingham School of Medicine. He also completed a fellowship in both cardiology and electrophysiology at Penn State College of Medicine in Hershey, Pennsylvania. My dear friend went to Hershey, Tom Cantone, also another good friend, Craig Tanzola. Great school there, too, by the way. Dr. Hines' special interests include comprehensive atrial fibrillation management, supraventricular tachycardia, cardiac implantable devices, and left atrial appendage occluding devices. He has authored numerous articles in peer-reviewed medical journals. And honestly, if I went on to all of his personal accomplishments, specialty trainings at all, we'd be saying hello and goodbye. We have a very important topic this half hour on Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents, a great doctor, Dr. Hines. And the topic this half hour is heart arrhythmias. Dr. Hines, welcome to your program. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. It's great to be with you. Thank you so much for inviting me.
A pleasure to be with you. Let's get right. We won't bury the lead, Dr. Hines. What is a heart arrhythmia?
That's a great question. A heart arrhythmia is a fancy doctor word for an abnormal heart rhythm, and that can be one of two things or both. When we talk about heart rhythms, we're both talking about the regularity of your heart rhythm and also the rate. And patients can have problems with one or the other or both.
Go ahead, please.
Go ahead.
No, please go ahead. Okay. I was going to follow up with what causes it. So you find out you have heart arrhythmia. What causes it?
There's a lot of different causes. Say, for example, the most prevalent heart rhythm that we are facing with in this current environment and also in the future beyond is atrial fibrillation. That's a pretty common word, common arrhythmia that people have heard about on the TV. And that, for example, the most common predisposing factor for that is high blood pressure. In some patients, there can be other causes such as heart valve disorders. And what I mean by that is inside of our heart, we have valves that allow for blood to flow from one chamber to the other and not to go back into the chamber it just left when it's functioning properly. And if those valves start to malfunction, that can lead to changes in the structure of the heart and cause heart rhythm disturbances. In some patients, there are heart rhythms disturbances that are genetically acquired and inherited. And in other patients, there are abnormal circuits that we are born with, and they are there. Sometimes they don't cause any problems, but in other patients, they can set up for a situation where their heart can go out of rhythm. So to answer that question, there's a lot of different causes that can be behind a person's abnormal heart rhythm.
I already feel like we're fast friends, so I'm going to throw a wild card at you. We've done whole topics on Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents on palpitations. I know you have listeners right now, Dr. Hines, that they have this flutter. Maybe it comes and goes. Maybe when they have stress, it comes. Maybe for no reason at all. And then it just goes away. Is a palpitation a form of a heart arrhythmia?
It can be. That is one that can be a symptom of an abnormal heart rhythm. And so when a patient describes a palpitation, what they're really experiencing is that they're feeling that their heart is out of rhythm or it's not normal, and so that can be a presenting symptom of something going on inside of the heart. So, you know, same thing when your car that you've been driving for a long time that's been working perfectly all of a sudden you start hearing a ticking or a knocking sound, you know, up under the hood, there's most likely there's something wrong with the engine. And so the similar thing is, you know, I think something's wrong, I need to go to a doctor and, you know, find out what's happening. Unfortunately, just to carry the analogy, a lot of the times, like you said, these palpitations come and go. They go to the doctor and nothing's happening.
It won't reproduce when you need it most.
That's right. You take your car to the auto mechanic and it's not making the sound when you get there. So, but that doesn't mean that there's not a problem. And just like the auto mechanics and just like we do in our field, we listen to the patient very carefully and then we plan out a course of action to try to figure out what's causing this problem.
The program is Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents. We'll give you the phone number that you can call, and I know that almost everyone has a digital device, a smartphone or iPad or whatever, mini iPad, desktop, laptop. You can go to demanddeborah.org and you can make your appointment. There's a hyperlink right there to make your appointment. And it's very important. We've heard from many of our guest listeners when they hear great content like Dr. Hines is already giving us, where you say, whoa, that's me. And this program has actually saved lives. That's not me saying it, Dr. Hines. That's listeners that have called in and they have heard from people like you and went and received the care that they needed. And the program was the impetus. It's humbling to be here with you. What is considered, Dr. Hines, to be a normal heartbeat?
That's a great question, and I get that asked a lot. A normal heartbeat, back to what I was saying when we're actually the flip side of what an arrhythmia is both a rhythm that's regular and a rate that's within normal limits. So the question I get asked a lot is, what's a normal heart rate? There is a range of heart rates which is normal for a particular patient and a patient's age population in general. If you Google, you know, that question, what will often show up if you tap on the images, there will be graphs that show a slope that shows as we get older, our average heart rate starts to get a little bit slower. But then obviously there's a range. So somebody can have a resting heart rate of 69 and that's normal for them, and another patient can have a resting heart rate of 84 and that's normal for them. When you start to get to the extremes, that's when you can find yourself outside of what's a normal heart rate. So somebody who is a well-trained athlete, you know, a long-distance endurance athlete, they could have a resting pulse of 45 or even possibly lower and absolutely feel fine. However, you might have a 65-year-old who has a resting pulse that's in the 40s, and it's not they're not an endurance athlete, and they may feel horrible with that pulse.
They might feel like they're going to pass out, right?
That's right, pass out. I get dizzy when I exert myself. I just, you know, I can't do what I used to be able to do, and so forth. And that's when it's not just when we look at a patient that's, you know, presenting with some type of a complaint, or we're also looking at the symptoms that are, you know, the symptoms that are associated with it. So it's not just a number in many situations. It's also a combination of the number plus symptoms that we're looking at.
Dr. Hines, you've inspired me to ask this follow-up question. I've always wanted to ask it of someone just like you. So today is my lucky day. If we look up that graphic and it says like 60 to 100 is considered healthy, but if your heart is beating 60 times a minute, rather than beating 85 or 90 times a minute, is the heart working harder? I know this sounds like Captain Obvious, but if every minute a person's heart is beating 20 or 30 more times than someone else's heart is beating, is that a bad thing?
Great question. And the answer is no, because what every patient will, in most cases, there is a variation of our heart. It fluctuates. So, yes, when you check your pulse at that given time, it may be 85 and your friend's is 65. That could be an indication of overall health. Your friend may be, you know, more careful with regards to their diet and exercise and activity. It also could be a reflection of medications. Some medications patients can take can slow a patient's heart rate down. So overall, when we look, and it's interesting, there are monitors that patients can wear when we're looking for different type of issues with regards to abnormal heart rhythms. In general, most patients will have around 100,000 heartbeats in a 24-hour period. But at any given time, that pulse at one part of the day could be 65, and then at another part of the time could be 92. Mm-hmm. And then at some points in time when they're, you know, rushing through the line at the grocery store, then it could be, you know, 110.
Yes.
So that basically it's an average. So there isn't somebody's heart necessarily is working harder than another's if all things are equal.
So interesting, and I knew you were going to be great. We'll take our one and only break right now. We'll be back in just a little over 3 minutes. If you have a question for our distinguished doctor, Dr. Bernard John Hines, cardiac electrophysiologist, give us a call right now at 609-407-1450, 609-407-1450, to make an appointment. If you're listening to Dr. Hines and saying, whoa, this is me, I've got to do something about this, call 800-555-1990. You can easily write from there. You'll be prompt to scheduling, or just go to the website demanddebora.org, and you can make your appointment right from there as well. With Dr. Hines, I am respectfully yours.
Hurley in the Morning, WPG Talk Radio 95.5, and on the WPG Talk Radio app. Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins this afternoon at 1. Now, Harry Hurley on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Hey, thank you very much. It is 20 minutes past the hour. Let's make it count, 15 minutes. And I'm telling you, we have a lot of content, and we have a lot of your calls at 609-407-1450 on hold. If you have a question, the only thing we ask is please keep it on the topic. The topic is heart arrhythmias with the distinguished doctor, Dr. Bernard John Hines, cardiac electrophysiologist, and the program is Debora Heart and Lung Center Presents. Welcome. You're on with the doctor. Your question.
Mr. Hurley?
Speaking.
Yes. Dr. Hines, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question, Dr. Hines. And it's, I had a Watchman implanted close to 2 years ago. And it's functioning. Everything is great. It's taken me off some heavy-duty meds also. And it's monitored four times a year. And the nice thing about it, I don't have to go, well, it's not that it's nice. I don't have to go up to Browns Mills. They have an office down here that monitors. My question is, my wife has an exterior monitor on her chest. I don't think that corrects anything, if I understand it correctly. All it does is monitor what's happening to her heart. Is it possible for her to get a Watchman?
Wow, that's a good question. And the first part of your statement is yes. The monitor doesn't do anything but do exactly what it says, just monitors. The question, though, the second part of your question, though, is I can't answer that because I don't know enough about your wife's history to know what they're monitoring for. And so the Watchman device, which you received, is only indicated for a patient who has atrial fibrillation that's not caused by a heart valve disorder, and in the opinion of both the doctor who's doing the procedure as well as either your primary care or another provider called shared medical decision making believes that you are not a good long-term candidate for anticoagulation, meaning a blood thinner like Coumadin or some of the newer drugs like Pradaxa, Eliquis, or Xarelto, or Zavesa. So that, the answer for the question that you had regarding your wife, unless she meets those indications, then that would be the only way of knowing what if she would be a candidate for a WATCHMAN or not. But without knowing her complete history and what somebody is looking for, unfortunately, I wouldn't be able to answer that for you.
Just one added caveat. She has a heart doc, and she also has a heart doctor from Deborah. They both monitor what's happening. So she's within the system, but I've never asked the question before, so I don't know if she is a possible candidate. But it performs well for me, took me off some heavy-duty meds, and I'm very happy with it.
Thank you so much for your call. Really appreciate it, and all the best, and perhaps do what we were saying earlier is follow up, demand. You know where to go. You're there. Gregory, good to talk to you. Thank you so much. DemandDeborah.org, and the phone number is 800-555-1990. Back to your calls at 609-407-1450 for Dr. Hines. The topic this half hour on Deborah Heart and Lung Center presents Dr. Bernard John Hines, cardiac electrophysiologist, is heart arrhythmias. Welcome to the program. You're on the air with Dr. Hines. Go right ahead.
Yeah, this is Ron and Ventnor. Hello, everybody.
Hey, Ron.
I have a question on, I had a blood clot in my right leg. I have a filter in, and I took the test, a Doppler, and I was told that all the valves are malfunctioning as far as they're just flopping. Are they replaceable?
When you said you had a Doppler, you're saying the Doppler of your leg, is that correct?
Yeah, well, they go all the way up, you know, to, I guess, the filter or in around the stomach area, whatever.
Sure. That's a good question. It's not exactly a heart rhythm problem, but where it would come into play is that the vein, the clot that you had in your leg, and what they mean by the valves, those would be valves that are actually in your lower extremities, in the veins in your legs, into your pelvic region. That's probably what they were regarding when they said that the valves are what they call insufficient. And so I would imagine you are probably maybe experiencing swelling in your leg. Is that correct?
Yes.
So that would be consistent with what the results of that ultrasound was that they performed in showing that there's some chronic changes that the blood clot caused to those valves. With regards to fixing them, there's not anything that would be done where they would go in and actually replace them or repair them, but there are different therapies that both conservative and some invasive situations to where they could help with the swelling to reduce the what they call the venous insufficiency caused by that prior blood clot. Okay?
Okay. Fine. I was just wondering if that changes your heartbeat.
No, those type of valve, that type of valve condition that's just isolated only to the leg that was involved with the blood clot, those type of valve conditions would not affect your heartbeat.
Hey, Ron, all the best. Thanks so much for checking in, and we appreciate it. To our listeners, if you have a question for Dr. Hines, 609-407-1450 for about the next 8 minutes. We have a lot of content we want to get to. Dr. Hines, what are the symptoms of a heart arrhythmia? I think we talked about palpitations. That could be one, correct?
Yeah, that absolutely could be one. Some of the other symptoms that patients will report is They can be dizzy. They can have no exercise tolerance. They can be tired all the time. They can feel their heart skipping in their chest. They can sometimes feel that their neck feels full or their head feels full. So those are the spectrum of symptoms that somebody can have can be along those ranges. And in fact, in many patients, and what's very scary, unfortunately, is that some heart rhythm problems that can be quite dangerous don't cause any symptoms whatsoever.
Wow. So let me go rogue on you. Are some heart arrhythmias harmless and some heart arrhythmias can be actually deadly?
That's correct. That's very true. There are some heart rhythm problems that we would call benign, meaning that they're not, after diagnostic testing and monitoring, they are not causing any damage to the heart. And so we would label them as benign, and then they would be labeled either as symptomatic or asymptomatic.
Can benign, is it something that you watch going forward? Because could benign one day turn into a problem?
They could. It's not in some, depending on what it is, some of them never will cause a problem. Some of them at the time that the label is given, however, do need to be monitored because they have the potential to become harmful. There are other heart rhythm problems, back to the most classic example, atrial fibrillation, that can be quite dangerous, and they can cause a stroke, or it can cause, in some patients, heart failure. And so that is a heart rhythm that's, you know, very dangerous, which brings me, I wanted to just to put in something because you made a nice statement earlier in the show about how Deborah and both just the healthcare system in general has saved people's lives. We, in this new environment that we're in now with COVID, has seen patients, and it's understandable, a fear of going to the hospital or to the doctor because of the risk of exposure to this virus. And that's a well-understood fear. However, the danger to that is that you could be home and suffer a severe complication from a problem that you are having because you don't seek medical care early on in the problem, and by the time you do seek medical care, the treatment can be much more difficult. So I just want the listeners to have a valid fear of the virus. There's no doubt about that, but don't let it prevent you from seeking medical attention that you would have given a pre-COVID type environment.
Dr. Hines, that was so important what you just shared, because I do believe that's happening all around us. People are not getting screened for different things, cancer, regular colonoscopies that are due. I think a lot of the American people are staying away from being proactive and taking care of themselves. It's so important what you just said. Are there, how do I say this without being Captain Obvious? Are there different types of arrhythmias?
There are. There definitely are different types of arrhythmias. There are, and we group them into two different types, kind of a few different categories. Besides what we just discussed being benign or malignant in terms of their potential danger, we also group them into what type of chamber that they come from. And the heart's divided into four chambers, main chambers, and the two top chambers are called the left atrium and the right atrium, and the two bottom chambers of the heart are called the left ventricle and the right ventricle. And there's technical subdivisions of those parts of the heart, but we'll grossly group them into whether these heart rhythms are abnormal heart rhythms are coming from the top chamber of the heart or whether they're coming from the bottom chamber of the heart. Then there's also heart rhythms, as we spoke about earlier, with regards to the rate. You know, are these abnormal fast heart rhythms? Are these abnormal slow heart rhythms? Or in some cases, is the electrical impulse coming from the normal pacemaker that's built inside the heart? Is it not making it all the way through to complete the electrical cycle in the heart? So we label those as conduction disturbances. So there's a lot of different types of heart rhythms based upon where they come from, and also whether they're conducted through completely, and also if they're regular or irregular. So those are the different types of ways that we would describe abnormal heart rhythms.
I knew this was going to happen. Number one, I knew you were going to be great. And number two, I knew it was going to go by in the blink of an eye. We're down to about 2 minutes, and I have at least five questions. We're not going to get to all of them. But this one, I think, is really important for your listeners that are dealing with this or listening now and wondering if this is exactly what they've been experiencing, and they're just sort of connecting the dots. Can you live a normal life with arrhythmia?
You can. There are patients that I have seen. One of the biggest things is the patient gets an answer to what's going on. And in many cases, it's just reassurance. The diagnosis is made. The diagnosis is explained to the patient so they understand. And that's what I do specifically. I make sure that the patient understands what's going on, that I can accomplish that sometimes in the first visit. Sometimes it takes more than one visit for the patient to fully comprehend what's going on. Then once that's done, patients can live a long, healthy life, and they know what it is, and it doesn't bother them anymore.
This one could be one or the other. Maybe it's a combination. Maybe it can be both. Can arrhythmia be cured or only treated?
Great question. And the answer is both. There are certain heart rhythms. There's quite a long list of heart rhythms that we can actually cure, which is one of the reasons why I chose this subspecialty of medicine, which is an uncommon thing in internal medicine, that we can actually cure a problem. Versus, you know, surgeons that can, you know, do a surgical procedure to cure the problem. But in electrophysiology, we can, in many cases, cure the problem. And in some cases, there are no cures, but we have still adequate treatments that can significantly improve the patient's quality of life, as well as improve the prognosis.
Dr. Hines, I know how important your time is. Do you have time for one more question, or do you need to go?
Absolutely.
Appreciate that. I'll squeeze two into one. Can an arrhythmia just go away, just on its own? I had it, and I don't have it anymore. And what happens if an arrhythmia is left untreated?
Okay, great two questions. So the answer to the first question is yes, there are heart rhythms that are abnormal, and over a period of time, they can disappear. Patients can quote-unquote outgrow it. That is a patient-by-patient situation. So I don't want somebody at home listening that's having these problems that has not sought evaluation by a medical professional to make that decision on their own. So that leads into the second question, which is, what happens if I don't do anything about it? If a patient isn't diagnosed, then they could be sitting on top of a potential heart rhythm disorder that could be very dangerous. So don't sit here and listen and think, okay, this is, just started and I'll just wait and see if it goes away. That's you really should go and seek medical attention so a professional can make the determination of, is this something that's, back to the one of our questions, benign, or is this something that requires treatment or constant, chronic surveillance?
And then, Dr. Hines, finally, and we'll get you out, when should you see a doctor?
I would say when you recognize that something's not right and you're concerned about it. Well, actually, I take that back. Even if you're not concerned about it, us guys, merely a flesh wound.
You could feel, hey, I'm kind of macho. I can deal with it. I can handle it.
Us macho guys. The worst thing is to ignore it. So you should seek attention, and unfortunately this does occur sometimes, you'll at other you'll run in, and patients will admit this, they've run into providers that, you know, just blow it off or this or that or the other. You know, don't, patients are consumers. Keep searching until you get an answer that makes you comfortable and satisfied with the answer. And so that's what I think patients should do, and not ignore the problem. And when they do seek medical care, you stick with somebody, and if you have to, unfortunately more than one, go to somebody who's finally going to provide you with a an answer that satisfies your concerns and also sounds reasonable. Because more than anything, a patient knows their body better than anybody else. So that's why it's a doctor-patient relationship.
What a masterclass program you just put on, Dr. Hines. We've had the privilege to present Dr. Bernard John Hines, a cardiac electrophysiologist. The program is Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents, and the topic for today's edition and episode has been the heart arrhythmias. And thank you for your time and expertise. For our listeners, Deborah is standing by. 800-555-1990. That's 800-555-1990. You'll be prompted easily on the automated attendant to scheduling, and you can do so as well on the web at demanddeborah.org. Dr. Hines, a privilege to present you, sir.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed this, and if you ever want to have me back, I'll be happy to participate.
And you know the answer to that. Affirmative. Thank you, sir. Be well. Great. Stay safe. Stay healthy.